may devour, and he will devour you unless you take heed to the things of God. Amen? Unless you take heed to the things of God. So what was it like with Jacob? Or what was Jacob's relationship with God? Well, Jacob had a certain respect for God, amen? Certain respect for God. He had a good understanding about God. He knew this was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and now the God of Jacob. He had a good understanding. But respect and good understanding doesn't make what God wants you to be. See, Jacob never had a heart relationship with his God. Never had a heart relationship. You know, the Bible says, do you know how you get saved? The Bible says, when you confess with your mouth, Lord Jesus, and believe in that heart that God's raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It's with the heart, amen, man believing unto righteousness. But as soon as you lose that heart relationship, you go down, amen. You go down. You know, turn to Genesis for me. Genesis 40. Genesis 47. This is Jacob as an old man. And he's looking back at his life. You know, Jacob tried to do it in his own strength. He tried to be the businessman. But now he's looking back at the end of, from the viewpoint at the end of his life. And it says in Genesis 47 verse 8, and here he's talking to Pharaoh. And he says in Genesis 47 verse 8, and Pharaoh said unto Jacob, how old art thou? I love this. And Jacob said unto Pharaoh, the days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few and evil have the days of the years of my life been, and I have not attained unto the days of the years of my life and my father's in the days of their pilgrimage. Great Jacob is looking back here with regret. Amen. He's looking back with regret over his life because he didn't do things God's way. Amen. And that's the tragedy of neglect. Not doing it God's way. Doing it in your own strengths. He regrets those wasted years of his life where he lived only for self. You know what a teenager will do? Left to his own, he will live his life for himself. And man, the Bible says, all we like sheep have gone astray. The Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. But he did what was right in his own eyes. Proverbs 16:25 says, there is a way to seem it right unto man, but the end of the ways of death. It brings forth death. You can think you're doing it right, but it ends up in death. He had tried to solve all his problems by using his own wit and intelligence. But let me show you Jeremiah. Right back in Jeremiah. Go back to Jeremiah. Just want to go to one verse there. That is important. Jeremiah chapter 10. Jeremiah 10 verse 23. Please listen to this verse. Oh Lord. I'll give you time to find it. Because this is an important verse. It says, oh Lord, I know that the ways of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. It's not in you to direct your own steps. Do you understand that? Amen? It's not in you to direct your steps. You'll make a mess of it if you try to direct your own steps. You need the Lord. You need a daily walk with the Lord where you can walk with him and he can show you the path you need to take. Amen? The Bible says the path of justice, shining light, shining more and more unto the perfect day. God will show you what you need to do. Amen? He will show you the path. He will show you how you need to walk. But if you try to do your own strength like Jacob does, you make a mess of it. Amen? You make a mess of it. And many a teenager makes a mess of their lives because they do it in their own strength. Amen? They do it in their own wit. They do it in their own intelligence. And they make a mess of it. And it's a scary thing because the devil is real. The devil is real. He tried to please God in his own fleshly ability. He fails. The Bible says that they that are in the flesh cannot please God. We cannot please God. I just want to just bow and pray and ask the Lord to help us here. Father, please help us now as we deal with the subject of neglect. God, I pray that you open hearts and use the foolishness of preaching to change lives. We ask this in Jesus' lovely, precious name. Amen. Turn to Hebrews chapter 2, please. Now, what's our memory verse, or the verse again, Hebrews 2, 3? Who can quote that? Hebrews 2, 3. How shall we escape? If we neglect so great salvation. And we look at Hebrews, you know, Hebrews is all about the idea that Jesus is better than anything that's gone before. And in Hebrews chapter 2, you have this idea, and in context it talks about Hebrews chapter 1 verse 13, it says, "But which of the angels said he at any time sit on my right hand until I have made thine enemies thy footstool?" He's talking about that even the angels, in verse 14, and they are not ministering. Are they not ministering spirits sent forth to minister them who shall be heirs of salvation? So the angels are there to minister to our salvation, amen? And then I just want you to jump down to chapter 2 and verse 3 says, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation?" It's so easy to neglect so great a salvation. I'm not just talking about salvation itself. I'm talking about sanctification, amen? And I'm talking about the whole thing that God puts in you. It's so easy to neglect that. Because, see, it's not an outward thing that you do, but it's simply just neglecting it, amen? And that's what Jacob was here. That's what he was guilty of. You know, Jacob neglected his relationship with his God, and it ruined everything. Everything that he held dear. It ruined his family. It ruined even his daughter. Amen. Jacob was responsible for that because he was backslidden. He was away from God. He didn't know the God of the Bible. And he was away from God. And it ruined everything. And it will ruin everything in your life if you're away from God. All you need to do is neglect God. Neglect the Bible. Neglect the reading of it. Neglect your daily devotions, and all of a sudden you find yourself ruined. You find yourself ruined by this world. In the context of chapter 2, it talks about how great salvation. Hey, salvation, the day I got saved, 2nd October 1992, was the greatest event of my life, amen. But that was only the beginning, amen. That's just the beginning. It goes on from there, amen. Because God wants to change me more than you could ever imagine. He wants, the Bible says in Colossians chapter 1 verse 13, it says, "Who delivered me from the power of darkness and then translated me all the way into the kingdom of his dear son." Amen. It's not about the blessings of the Christian life. It's about being conformed into the image of his dear son. Amen. That's what the Bible talks about. It says in John chapter 10, verse 10, it says, "The thief cometh not, but to kill, to steal, and destroy." That's the devil, amen? But Jesus says, "I have come to give life, give it more abundantly." He wants to give you abundant life, amen? Yeah. Aren't you glad that Jesus didn't neglect his mission, amen? Aren't you glad that? The Bible says that his mission wasn't just to show a right example for us. It wasn't just to prove that he was a Messiah. His mission was to come to this earth and die on the cross for sinful man, amen? He who knew no sin became sin for you and I, that we might become the righteous of God in him, amen? Amen? I like Matthew 26, 37, where it says he went a little further, amen? When he began to sweat drops of blood, and when the disciples fell asleep, he went a little bit further, amen? That's your Savior, amen. That's your Lord. He went a little bit further. He was a real man, amen. He was a real man. In Hebrews chapter 2, 12, verse 2 says, just go to Hebrews chapter 12 there, a few pages over. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 and 3 says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down on the right hand throne of God." And verse 3, "For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest he be weary and faint in your minds." Hey, just consider Jesus. He never neglected. He lived a perfect example. He died on the cross for your sin. I believe this. I believe you're the only person upon planet Earth he would have came and died for in your place, amen. He loves you that much. How great love is that, amen? How great a salvation, amen? He did it for you. He did it for me. But we can so easy neglect salvation. We can so easy neglect salvation. Hey, I believe this. I believe there's a counterfeit salvation. I believe, you know, the devil is crafty. The devil can counterfeit almost anything that God can do, amen. We know that from looking at the Bible. He's a counterfeiter, amen. I believe there's a counterfeit salvation there today, amen. You know, I often ask Sunday school kids, hey, how do you get saved? Well, they say, we just ask Jesus into your heart. Well, something wrong with that. You don't just ask Jesus into your heart. You have to, there has to be an understanding that you're a sinner and you're on your way to hell. You need to get saved, amen. There has to be an understanding. There's a counterfeit salvation today. It's not just asking Jesus into your heart. It's not just admitting you're a sinner either. Let me show you something, Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. Right in the middle of your Bible is Isaiah. In chapter 6. And here I believe is Isaiah's salvation. He sees the very throne of God in heaven in Isaiah chapter 6. And he sees the seraphims. In verse 2 it says, above it stood the seraphims, each one with six wings, and twain he covered his face, and twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. He sees the glory of God in heaven. And you know what he sees? In verse 3, and one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. He sees the holiness of God. And you know, in your salvation, in my salvation, I begin to see the holiness of God. How God was holy, pure, righteous. And I became undone inside. That's what salvation is. It's being broken for your sin, amen. It's not just admitting your sin, it's being broken of your sin that you've offended a holy God. You've offended a holy God, and there needs to be a brokenness, a contriteness of your heart where you go, oh God, help me. And then you're in a position of salvation, amen. But I believe this with all my heart, there's a counterfeit salvation out there. There's a counterfeit salvation. It's not just praying a prayer, amen. It's not just saying words with your mouth. It has to come from the heart, amen. You know, the Bible says it only takes a little bit of faith to get saved, amen. According to Matthew 18, it says a little bit of faith. But I believe this, it's with all your heart, amen. It's with all your heart. I believe there's a fake salvation as well today. I believe, you know, you can understand the cross, you can understand Jesus, and you can understand everything. Because I remember when I stood in the street corner, 2nd of October 1992, I could have faked it. I could have held on to something in my heart and said, Lord, I could have fooled everybody. I could have fooled everybody. And that's scary, because you're learning this week about the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. You have no idea. You don't even know your own heart, amen. And you better realize that salvation, you better understand that it just takes a little bit of faith, but it's what all of your heart needs to be involved in it, amen. All of your heart. That's what salvation is. And then there's a forced salvation a lot of times, where we think we understand. We prayed a prayer way back when we were 5 or 6, but we're not really sure. Hey, make sure you're saved, amen. It's the difference between heaven and hell. You better make sure you're saved, amen. It's so easy to neglect so great a salvation. There came a time in Jacob's life in... Please go to Genesis chapter 28 now, please. Genesis 28. I'm glad I'm preaching Wednesday because all the groundwork's been laid. Amen. But Genesis 28, you have Jacob. Genesis 28 and verse 19 says this, and he called the name of the place Bethel, but the name of that city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me, I will keep in this way that I go, I will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace. Then shall the Lord be my God. See, Jacob here, he's making kind of a business arrangement with God. He's saying, God, okay, you do this for me, and I'll do this, God. I'll even tithe. I'll do this, and you do this, God. But that's not salvation, is it, amen? That's not salvation. God, when it comes to salvation, you're broken about your sin, and you don't put any expectation on God, amen? Because you know you deserve hell. But Jacob here, he has a religious encounter, and that's all it is. Do you understand that? He has a religious encounter. That's all it is. It doesn't change him. Amen. I hear so many times of people supposedly get saved, but there's no change there. Amen. You better make sure there's a change. Because when you get saved, the person of Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, moves into your heart and life. Amen. And there will be a change. There will be a change. Do you know what religion is? Religion changes the outward appearance. And Matthew 23 talks about these Pharisees, the phylacteries, and all the religious garb they have on them. And inwardly, they were ravening wolves. Amen. Inwardly, they were full of excess and extortion. But outwardly, they're beautiful. That's what religion is. Jesus wants to change the heart, amen. Jesus is more concerned with the heart than with the outward appearance. Religion is done out of duty only. Here, Jacob makes a deal with God. He says, okay, God, I will give you my tithes, and you take care of me, and we're all sorted. Religion is man's attempt to please God. It's basically works, amen. That's what you have going on here. You have works. But Jesus is different. Jesus, the person named Jesus, moves into your heart and life. You will be changed. Hey, you know I have kids. You know I have a wife because you see them hanging off me. It's just the way it is. You know certain things. You can tell. But when Jesus moves into your life, things are different, amen? Because you have God himself inside of you, amen? Salvation is so much different. The Bible says this in John 3:18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he believeth not is condemned already, because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. I like there's a leaflet tract that shows, it says, what do you do to go to hell? And you open it up and it's empty inside. There's nothing written on inside. Because the Bible says we're already condemned, amen? Yeah. And we need to understand that there has to be something you do. The Bible says you need to be born again, and you need to make sure you're born again. Amen. It is a spiritual awakening that you once were the servant of sin, and now you can become the servant of righteousness, according to Romans 6. It is done out of love, not duty. Amen. It's done out of love. It is a wellspring of life springing up inside of you. That's what Jesus is. That's what Jesus will produce on the inside. He will produce a well of life. Just abundant life, the Bible calls it. And then, let me say also what we neglect. We neglect our sanctification. Go to Hebrews chapter 13, please. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13. You know, I'm glad that Jesus died for me, amen. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm so glad I'm saved. But look what it says in Hebrews 13 verse 12. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. But Jesus also died for your sanctification, amen. He also died so you'd be sanctified. And just as important as your salvation, you know how great your salvation is? Even greater is your sanctification when you go from darkness to light, where you allow God to change you from who you are to who one day Jesus wants you to be. Amen? That's what sanctification is. Sanctification is the process of being made more like Jesus Christ. Amen? Being made more like Jesus Christ. That's what saying. Go to 2 Peter now, please. 2 Peter. Second Peter chapter 1. I'm going to read verse 3 and 4. According to the divine power, had he given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that had called us unto glory and virtue. And notice what it says, wherefore, or whereby are given unto us exceeding great precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the what? What does it say? Of the divine nature. You know who's in you today? The very divine nature of God. God is in you this day, amen, if you're saved. And you better understand, responsibility comes with that. You can't just do what you want to do. You're bought with a price. You better understand that if you are any chance to make a success to your true Christian life. Because God put something in you. It's called the kingdom of God, amen. And the Bible says in Philippians 2, you need to work that thing out in your life. It starts by sanctification, amen. To walk with the Savior on a daily basis, amen. To walk with the Savior. As Christians, the Bible says in Matthew 11, I'm supposed to be yoked with Jesus Christ, amen. I'm supposed to be yoked with Jesus Christ. The Bible says, come unto me, all ye labored, heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me. Learn of me, for my yoke is light and my burden is easy. Let me just say this. The burden is, or the yoke is light, but it's not non-existent. It's still a burden. It's still a yoke upon you, amen? That's why the Bible says you're bought with a price. You know, God wants you to put on the yoke with him, amen? And he will, just like two farm animals farming a field, he will allow you to go through this life living with his strength and his power, amen, as you go side by side with your Savior, amen. But there's another type of yoke, and you don't want this kind of yoke. It's the yoke of iron. I'd go to Deuteronomy chapter 28. If you neglect the things of God, then you put on a different yoke. And it's not the yoke that this Bible talks about. In Deuteronomy 28, it talks the blessings of Mount Gerizim and the cursings of Mount Ebal. It talks about in Deuteronomy 28, verse 48, it says this, therefore shalt thou serve thine enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee in hunger and thirst and in nakedness and in want of all things, and he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck until he have described thee. I just want you to know, if you're not willing to obey God's word, there's another kind of yoke out there. It's a yoke this world puts upon you. It's a yoke of iron, amen. And it will ruin your life. It will ruin your life. Let me say this. You can ruin your life over the process of your life neglecting things of God, or you can ruin your life in just one day or one night. When you remember Dinah in Genesis 34, where her life was ruined just in one event. So it's serious. Hey, you play with fire, you will get burnt, amen? You play with alcohol, you know what's going to happen? You're going to deceive yourself, and you're going to mess things up. The Bible says in Proverbs 20, it says, the wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Not wise. You play with cigarettes, man, that thing is going to put a yoke of iron about your neck. You mess around with premarital sex, it's going to mess up your life, amen. It's going to take away the purity that you have. It's going to mess up your life. Just hanging out with ungodly friends. Hey, maybe God has spoken to you and says, you better not hang around with ungodly friends, and you go ahead and do it anyway. You're neglecting the things of God. God has spoken to you, and you still go ahead and you do your own thing. You're neglecting things of God. And there's so many things we can neglect, amen. The devil wants to put a yoke of iron about your neck. He wants to make, the Bible says, the way of transgression is hard. He wants to make this life hard for you so that you go through this stuff. Hey, you wait on God, and God will give you such understanding of what he's trying to do in your life. You wait on God. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11, it says, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man. And it says, even to king or supreme. That's written by Peter. You know, Peter had a problem with his mouth. Peter had a problem with cursing. Peter had a problem with his temper. And now he's saying, submit to every order of man. He's talking about Nero there in that. And Nero was persecuting Christians in 1 Peter at the time. So just realize, oh, you put this yoke of this world upon you, and it's a heavy burden to carry. To be sanctified means to endure hardness. It means put up with things, amen. You know, your life, God doesn't want you just to have all the blessings in your Christian life. The ultimate goal of sanctification is to be made more like his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know how God does that? He brings trials into your life. He brings diverse temptations. He tests you. He'll look at those areas where you're weak at, and he'll try to show you you're weak in those areas so that you can understand and you can take measures so that you'll be able to overcome those areas. Amen. The Bible says there are no temptation taking you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you above what you're able, but will make a way of escape. Amen. And he wants to do that for you. James 1:2 says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Diverse temptations. It's, you know, we look at these trials, we look at those situations in our life, and we say, what is God trying to do in my life? God's trying to make you more like his Son, amen? He's put all things together, and he wants to work them all for good. You just have to yield, amen? You have to just yield to the Holy Spirit of God. It is to allow Jesus to change you, amen? He wants to change the way you think. The Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, so that the mind controls the heart, amen? That's what he wants to do. He wants to change the way you act, amen? I know you might think now, man, I just, as soon as I'm out with my friends, I fall into some sin, and I'm doomed to fail. I've taught that. I remember when I was first saved, I used to think, I struggled with alcohol. I struggled with things. I just didn't know. God didn't take away those desires right away from me. I struggled with those things. I remember going out and knowing I was doing wrong. I was thinking, well, what if the rapture happens now? I'd be left here. I had all these fears. But God had to change my understanding. Do you understand that? You just work with God, and you just allow God to work as sanctified. Just to sanctify your life, just to cleanse you, and just where you're learning scripture, or where you're reading the word of God, God begins to change your thinking, amen? And he gives you the understanding that you can do all things through Christ. You can do what he wants you to do in this life. He wants even to change the way you dress, amen? He wants even to change the clothes you put on. He wants to make you godly, in the inside first, and then on the outside, amen? That's just the way God wants you to do it. He wants to make you godly, that when people look at you, they see a godly person, even from the outside, amen? He wants us even to see that. And God can only do that, amen? God can only do that. And it's the process of change, where God changes you from who you are right now to who he wants you to be. He does that through the process of sanctification. And the Bible says Jesus died for that as well, amen? So we are not to neglect that. It's to change. Change everything about you. If you told me that I would be up here preaching, or if you told me that this was going to be what I was going to be doing, I'd laugh at you. Because see, God changed my thinking, amen? God showed me that it's not in strength that you need, it's in your weakness, just to be weak before him and allow God to use you, amen. It starts though, let me just say this, and this is the most important thing I'll ever say, it starts with a daily walk with him, amen. You can't do it in your own strength. The Bible says, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. But that verse will never make sense in your mind unless you're daily walking with him, amen. Unless you're daily walking with him. It takes time to be holy, amen? It takes time to live the sanctified life. It's not going to happen. You know what's the scary thing about this generation growing up? They have no discipline. They have no discipline to get up in the morning to read their Bible. They have no discipline of what it means to pray. No discipline whatsoever. They might just pray a short prayer. But you know what? It means nothing because it comes from the head most of the time. And unless we learn, as young teenagers, unless we learn to pray and seek God for ourselves, amen, not seek Him because we want to get out of trouble or something like that, but seek Him because we want to seek Him, amen? Seek Him because He's true. You know, Jacob could have lived such a different life. He never took God seriously. And there's teenagers in this room who will not take God seriously. They will think, okay, well, I came to camp because I was forced to come to camp, but I'm not really going to change. I enjoy the sports and all that, but I'm not going to give over what I need to give over. I'm not going to give up my so-called fun. But you know what that fun is? It's only for a season, amen? Right. It's just for a season. God wants to do so much more than just fun for a season or pleasure for a season. He wants to change everything about you. And it begins by surrender, amen? Surrender to a sanctified life. Having a daily walk with Him, amen? It's you need His strength, not your own. If you have your own strength, you will faint. You need to make time for God, amen? The Bible says in Isaiah 12:3, therefore with joy shall we draw waters out of the wells of salvation. Hey, salvation is something God puts inside of you, but then you access that salvation every day by drawing from it, amen? Getting your strength from Him. First thing you need to do every morning is, I believe, you need to have a yielded prayer in your life. There needs to be a place where you get alone and you yield yourself unto the God of heaven, amen? Just a yielded prayer where you say, God, okay, you have my lips, you have my hands, you have everything about me today, Lord. I yield myself to you this day. I put on the mind of Christ. And then there needs to be time where you get alone with God and where you read your Bible, preferably in the morning, amen? Preferably in the morning. There needs to be time where you read God's words and you read it for yourself, amen? You don't read it just words on a page. You read it and you say, God, speak to me today. Speak to me. And then you pray about everything. Pray about every situation. And man, that will change your life. If you just do those three simple steps, that will change your life. Even if you read, even if you made a covenant or a promise to God this day and said, I'll read a chapter, I'll read two chapters of my Bible, I'm going to keep it up, I'm going to do it Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, I'm going to have a walk with God, I'm going to read my Bible. God would change you. God would change you. The scary thing about this generation is we don't read our Bibles. Most teenagers don't even read their Bibles. Most teenagers just think they can live their life and they can just go along their merry way, and they have no idea that there's a devil, there's a roaring lion that walketh about seeking whom he may devour. The devil will devour you. If you're not in the process of being sanctified, where you have a walk with God, where you know the verse where it says, walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Unless there's something like that in your life, you're going to fall somewhere, amen? You're going to neglect the things of God, and you're going to find yourself in a mess. You're going to find yourself in a mess. And it can happen so easy. You know, after you get saved, it's just so easy to let things slip. It's just so easy. I have to warn you, it's so easy. The Bible says in Job 23:12, it says, neither have I gone back from the commandments of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Hey, which is most important, food or the Bible? I mean, I know, but you have to understand, most people will feed their face and they will not look at the Bible. Most teenagers are just concerned about self and they have no idea what God wants to do in their life, just to sanctify, just to cleanse you, and then to keep you clean, amen? Just a daily walk with Him. Psalms 138 verse 2 says, I will worship toward the holy temple. I will praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above thy name. That book is precious, amen. That book is precious if you will get it inside of you. And it's not in the head that matters. It's the heart. God's concerned with the heart. He will change you. He will change the way you think. He will take those weaknesses that you have and He will make them into strengths. Man, God can do anything. God will do that for you because all it takes is a yieldedness, a brokenness, and just an understanding that you need Him. Every hour of the day, you need Him. And when you fall, and you will fall, the Bible says just men fall 7 times, but he gets up again. When you fall, you need to get back up quickly, amen? You need to get back up quickly. Jacob had lived a life where he never knew God. He never had a conversion. And at the end of life, there was regret, there was sorrow, because he'd wasted all those years. And you don't know when you go out and you get into some sin, you don't know how hard it is to get rid of that thing. You know, the things of the heart go very deep. And you don't know when you develop some sinful habit. Say you begin to smoke. And you think it's cool. You know, teenage girls think it's cool today to smoke. But you get into some sinful habit. Or you get into hanging out with the wrong... You get into stuff like going to pubs and stuff like that. Maybe you're an older teenager and going to pubs is cool. And you find yourself getting heavier and heavier, deeper and deeper into sin. You don't know the damage it does, the ruin it does to your heart, how it deceives you. Amen? The heart is deceitful above all and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You don't even know your own heart. The heart is wicked. And we don't know it. It's just good that when we do get saved, that we stick with the things of God, amen. The thing that Jacob was guilty with, and Esau as well, they were guilty of just neglecting the things of God. Hey, God had made some precious promises. He's made some precious promises to you. Every time you read your Bible, God gives you a promise, amen. God gives you a promise from the Word of God. You need to hold on to those promises, not to neglect those promises, amen. Because that's the thing that will get you through the hard days, amen. It's not all blessings in the Christian life. You're going to go through your trial. If you're a child of God, you will go through your different situations, different trials. But it's time to be a man or be a lady of God and just put up with those things, amen. And then let me say, thirdly, we neglect God's salvation. I'm sure there's people in this room, and everybody around you might think you're saved or you've been born again, but you know in your heart there's doubt in there. You know there's something just not quite right, and maybe there's that situation, and maybe you need to get it right, get it settled today. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. And then there's other people in this room where you've neglected the sanctification process. You have not yielded yourself to God, amen. You've not put on the mind of Christ. You've just lived in your own strengths, and you've neglected things that are most precious. Now you need to get back to the place where you're sanctified. And then there's those in this room. I think a lot of us in this room, we've neglected our first love. Amen. We've neglected our first love. Go to Revelation chapter 2, please. Revelation chapter 2. And this is talking here about a church named Ephesus. It was a good church. They had a lot going for it. You know, you can be a good Christian, have a lot of things going for you. You can be, someone has said this. It says, reputation is what people think of you. Character is what God knows you to be. Amen. God knows your character. And he can see through everything. But it says this in verse 2. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them that are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience for thy name's sake, and hast labored, and hast not fainted. And then it says, verse 4, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Hey, do you remember the day when Jesus saved you?
Yeah.
And do you remember, wow, Jesus was everything to you. Jesus was everything to you. I remember lying in my bed and just tears flowing from my face and going, Jesus, you're everything to me. You're everything to me. And then I remember falling into some sin and just realizing Jesus wasn't so important anymore. He had taken second place because, you see, that sin had blinded my understanding. My understanding had become darkened. You need to get back to the place where Jesus is everything to you, amen? Jesus is everything to you. He is... See... If we could have just a glimpse today, guys, if you could have a glimpse of what's happening in heaven, you would understand and what the Bible says about Jesus is true. What's going on? Let's go over here a few chapters to Revelation chapter 4. And we see here in heaven. We see what's going on in heaven. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 10, it says this. And the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne of the throne, saying in verse 11, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. The reason why you were created, the reason why I was created, it was for his glory, amen? For his glory. And if you could see what's happening in heaven this morning, man, you would realize just how wonderful Jesus is and how Jesus needs to be everything in your life. He needs to be everything in your life. You know, the camp is wonderful, but camp is a time where we have all this positive peer pressure and we get all excited about Jesus, amen? But what's it going to be like when you leave camp? Yeah. And what's going to be like when you're back in school and all of a sudden you find yourself ashamed of Jesus Christ all over again? That's what it's going to be like. Unless you put Jesus on the inside, amen? And the Bible says, greater is he that's in you than he that's in this world, amen? Unless you put Jesus on the inside, unless you have a daily walk with him where you make Jesus first in your life, you put him first because he deserves first place. He has proved to you that he needs to be first. The Bible says, for God commended his love towards us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It says in Romans 5:6, it says, when we were yet without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. That's you and I, amen. He died for the ungodly. He died for you and I. And we need to get back to the place where Jesus is first. Jesus has the number one position upon our heart. Amen. And he has nobody around to compete with. Jesus needs to be the only love. Amen. The very first commandment, Exodus 20 verse 2-3 says, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. It's so easy to put some little G God before him. Amen. It's so easy. I've been saved 18 years and I'm still guilty of putting things before the Lord. So don't think you can sit there and say that you're not guilty. I guarantee you are guilty. And this is time where we meet with God and we say, okay, God, I put this before you. I put my sports before you. I put different things before you. Maybe you put your friends before God. Maybe you put different things. It could be anything. Anything that comes to the place of God is an idol. And it needs to be got rid of. Amen. It needs to be got rid of. It's so easy. We have to remember we're bought with a price. Amen. Leviticus 20 verse 26 says this. And ye shall be holy unto me, for I the Lord am holy, and have severed you from other people, that ye shall be mine. God has cut you off. God has made you his own. And he wants you to do something for him in this life. It is easy for some idol to creep along and to take first position in your heart. It could be some sinful habit. Hey, don't ever buy the lie that you can't overcome some sinful habit. That's the devil's lie, amen. You can overcome anything, amen. You can do anything as long as the God of heaven's inside of you. You can do whatever the Lord wants you to do. It could be your friends. Proverbs 13:20 says this, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Psalms 1 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the godly, nor stand in the ways of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. Hey, you better understand, you need to keep away from certain negative influences, amen? Maybe God has spoken to you, says, keep away from certain negative influences. Sometimes they might be your closest friends, but you better understand, it could be your closest friend, but you better understand, is it that friend, so-called friend, or is it Jesus? It comes down to that at times, amen? It could be something that you love. It could be sports. It could be anything that you put in place of God and takes away God's position of being first on your heart is an idol. And it needs to be brought down, amen. It needs to be brought down. And then God can work in your heart. Then God can magnify himself in your heart and make himself bigger in your heart, amen. He can show you who he really is. Jacob learned here things the hard way Jacob neglected things of God. You know, it's so easy just to neglect. All you need to do is just do nothing. You can sit here in camp, and all you have to do is do nothing, and you neglect the things of God. That's all you need to do. It is so easy, it's scary. I guarantee you, God has dealt with every single camper, every single teen in this room, in some way, some area. He's dealt with me. I guarantee he's dealt with you in some area. Have you neglected that area? You know, you can't just get right anytime you want. Because you don't know what your friends or the crowd you hang out with. You just don't know what's going to happen. It's just so easy to neglect things of God. You know, Jacob was a man who never took God seriously. He just never took God seriously. He said, I can handle this. I can scheme. I can plan these things in my mind. I can do this, I can do that. But he never took God seriously. And as an older man, he looks back with regret in his life. And he's saying, man, I wish I listened to God. I wish I'd done the things I should have done. It could be, it's so easy. And then let me say this. You know, once you, in the situation of Jacob, even though Jacob gets right at the age of 96, yet most of his life has been ruined. Do you understand? You cannot get back those years. The Bible says, redeeming the time for the days are evil. You cannot get back that time. The devil wants to steal away the time you have in the teenage years. He wants to steal away those years. Let me just show you another verse in Proverbs. Proverbs. Proverbs, right in the middle of your Bible. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 8, dealing with a strange woman here. Dealing with a strange woman, it says, remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh the door of her house, lest thou give thine honor unto others. And notice what it says, and thy years unto the cruel. Man, you know what? I don't want to give the devil the best years of my life. I don't want to give that devil the best years of my life. It's so easy to do. All you need to do is neglect things of God. All you need to do. Do you know all you need to do is to harden your heart, is not read the Bible. That's all you need to do. You don't have to go out there and commit some sin. You just need to not read your Bible, not be in the Word, not read. Because you know what the Bible does? When it's in your heart, it produces a softness in your heart. All you need to do is neglect the still small voice, the Holy Spirit of God speaking to your heart, and you automatically harden your heart against things of God. That's all you need to do. Why would anyone neglect so great salvation? Why would anyone? Let me tell you why. Because there's a real devil out there. And your heart is deceitful. You don't even know the half of it. Your heart will deceive you. Just as important though, just as important as your salvation is your sanctification. Where God can change you from where you are right now. He can change you what you will be someday. Amen. God has a wonderful plan. If you could see what God's plan was for you, you go, wow. Man, God wants to take you. God wants to take the weak things of this world, and he wants to confound the mighty. He can do anything for you. All it takes is a surrendered heart. Amen. He can do anything in your life. He can just take a weak vessel and make him mighty. Amen. Are you that person? Would you be that person? God can do anything with you. And then, why would anyone neglect how great a love? You think how God loves you so much. God proved his love for you, amen? He proved it. He showed you it. And you know what? He proved it at Calvary, and he's still proving it all along the way. His mercy is there every morning, amen? His faithfulness is there all the time. He is faithful. He is your best friend. He should be the best friend that we will ever have. But people can neglect how great a first love. They can neglect the first love of their heart, where Jesus is everything. Get back to the place. Get back to the place where you first got saved, and renew it all over again, where Jesus can become magnified in your heart, in your mind, in everything. Where Jesus can become inside of you, and Jesus can be Lord of your heart. Amen. Amen. Pastor Craig.